Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Samach. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will open up with the very bottom line of Daf Nun Tes Omid Beis, with a brief Dibur Maschil, or quote, from the Braisa that we saw on Daf Nun Vav Omid Beis, 3 lines from the top. The Gemara says that, quotes that Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Al Hakishuf, that the Bnei Noach are commanded not to practice black magic. My time of the Rabbi Shimon, what is the basis for his ruling? Dichtiv, the Gemara proceeds at the top of Daf Samach Amud Aleph. The Pasuk says, Mechashefa lo sechayeh, that a witch, one who practices black magic, is not to be left alive. Uksiv, and next to that Pasuk in the Parsha, it says, Kol shoychev im behemo mos yumos. Anyone who practices intimacy with an animal also is subject to death. And from this placement, the proximity of these two verses, one next to the other, we learn the following. Kol sheyeshno bichlal, kol shoychev im behemo. Anyone who is included in the prohibition of intimacy with animals, yeshno bichlal mechashefa lo sechayeh, is also included in the prohibition of practicing black magic. And since we know that the general humanity, all of Bnei Noach, are bound by the prohibition of shochev in behema, so too they are prohibited from practicing kishuf. As the Gemara goes on, we have a quote from the same Braisa on Nun Vav Amid Beis. Rebbe Lozer Omer, Af Al Hakilayim, that the Noahide are warned against, are prohibited from practicing mixed breeding. Before we continue in the Gemara, we will note the topic heading that we provide on the side of our marked Gemaras. The Nosei, you'll notice the topic, Shitas Rebbe Lozer, the opinion of Rebbe Lozer, Bnei Noach Mitzuvin Af Al Hakilayim, that the Noahide, namely humanity, is commanded not to practice mixed breeding. The idea of mixed breeding in Torah law has wide ramifications. However, in the realm of Noahide laws, it is limited. Number one, harboas shnei mine behemos, crossbreeding two different varieties of animals. And number two, harkovas shnei mine ilonos, the grafting of two trees, of two different varieties of trees, one onto the other. We turn back to the Gemara. Mino hani mili. From where do we know that the Bnei Noach are mitzuvin, are commanded on regarding kilayim, prohibited from practicing mixed breeding? Omar Shmuel. You'll notice with the markings that we have a long marking indicating the length of Shmuel's commentary. Shmuel says, the length marker is found to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Shmuel's name is written and encircled with a dashed vertical line indicating the length. Shmuel says, the Omar Kro, Es Chukoisai Tishmoiru. Rashi points out, on the second line from the top, Es Chukoisai Tishmoiru, which literally means that you shall keep my commandments, Kishihizu Yisrael Besina Behemtecho Lo Sarbiya. The section of the Torah that deals with the prohibition of mixed breeding animals, crossbreeding them, Pasach Bukro, the opening Pasuk says, Es Chukosai Tishmoru. A special opening, if you will, Mashalo Pasach Kein Bishar Mekoymos. This opening of Es Chukosai Tishmoru you don't find in other places. Shmamino Hochi Komar Lahu. Therefore, we derive that the following was said to them. And the Gemara will pick up on this point. So let us turn back to the Gemara. chukim shechokakti loch kvar. In other words, the Torah is addressing the Jewish people and says that the laws that I ruled on earlier, namely before you became the Jewish people, but while you were part of the general humanity in the B'nai Noach form, those rules I expect you to continue now. Behemtecha lo sarbia kilayim, v'sadecha lo sizra kilayim. We see from this that the laws of Kilayim are ancient laws. In other words, they preceded the Torah. They were stated to the B'nai Noach. In the pasuk we just read, we see crossbreeding of animals, and we also see the warning against the an agricultural aspect, because sadecha refers to fields, that your fields you should not cultivate in a Kilayim fashion. What is meant by the agricultural prohibition? The Gemara explains, ma behemtecha beharbo'o, just like in the case of crossbreeding animals, you are taking two distinct or complete entities, both of a different nature, and uniting them. Af sadecha beharkova, so the case of the agricultural prohibition will be of the same nature, taking two existing distinct entities, namely two trees that are fully grown entities, and grafting one onto the other. This is as opposed to other forms of mixed breeding, for example, kilei akerem, crossbreeding in a vineyard, which involves the planting of seeds of two, three different varieties together. For example, taking a grape seed with a wheat grain and possibly another barley grain and putting them together in the same hole in the ground. That is different. That type of kilayim, even though the Jewish people are prohibited from practicing it, it is not part of the Noahide legal system. Similarly, another comparison, ma behemtecha bein baretz bein b'chutz. So it's just like the prohibition of crossbreeding animals is not restricted to the land of Israel. It is a type of mitzvah that is not tolui b'karka. Af sadecha bein baretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. So too the agricultural prohibition, namely the prohibition of grafting two different types of trees together, is a mitzvah that applies both in the land of Israel and also outside of the land. Elo me'ato. The Gemara raises a question that, asking if this is the point of revelation, that the halacha applies to the B'nai Noach from the pasuk of Chukosai, es Chukosai Tishmoru, then you find a similar pasuk in the rest of the Torah in different places. It says, Ushmartem es Chukosai ve'es Mishpatai. And you shall keep my different forms of commandments. Are you going to offer the same interpretation? Chukim shechakakti loch kvar, the laws that I ruled upon earlier. And if you say that, you'll end up being mechayev, you'll end up obligating the B'nai Noach in keeping all of the Torah. The Gemara answers, there's a difference between the two psukim that the Gemara just featured. Hasam, the pasuk that refers to the rest of the Torah, Ushmartem es chukosai dahashto. The word shmartem precedes the word chukosai, and the Torah is instructing, you shall keep the commands that I am issuing now, the new commands. Hence, the pasuk of Ushmartem is not referring to ancient teachings. However, Hocha, the pasuk that features Kilayim, said es chukosai Tishmoru. The word chukosai precedes the tishmoru, which leads us to interpret chukim demeikora, the old laws, the ancient laws, the laws that were given to the B'nai Noach, tishmoru, you shall keep. This is now a quote from the bottom of Nun Hei Omid Beis. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. B'chol yoim donim es ha'edim b'kinui, yake yoisi es yosi v'chulei. Before we go on in the Gemara, we will take note of a structural point, We will notice in the Gemara a Roman numeral 1, and a few lines later, a Roman numeral number 2 that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. The number 2 follows an Ika d'Amri phrase in the Gemara itself, where you see the squiggle underline. The Nosei and Mivneh that we feature on in the outside margin explains that the 1 and 2 are Shnei Lishonos Shel Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, two versions of his comment, the Inyan Chiyuv Birkas Hashem, regarding the violation of cursing the name of God, Hu Rak B'Shem Dalet Osios. It concerns the name that is composed of four letters. The four-letter name is what creates this prohibition with the Chiyuv Misas Basin, with the capital punishment assigned to it. There is also a double underline that will be used to highlight the expression Mahu Detema, at which point the Gemara will be explaining Ma Hoyisi Hoyshev Beli Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, what I would have thought without his comment. In other words, the Gemara will present Rav Acha's comment and then raise the question, but what he seems to be saying is obvious. The Gemara will answer that it's not so obvious, and therefore I need him to say what he does. Turning back to the Gemara, Omar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Eino Chayov, the death penalty that the Mishnah discusses concerning Birkas Hashem, concerning cursing, Ad Sheyavorech Shem Ben Arba Oisyos, the violation is achieved only when using the name of God that is of four letters, Lafuke Ben Shtei Oisyos Delo, to the exclusion of other titles that are assigned to God, where you have a two-letter name, if you will. If one engages in Birkas Hashem using the two-letter name, he won't be high of the death penalty. The Gemara asks, what do I really need Rav Acha Bar Yaakov for? That information is already alluded to in the Mishnah. Pshita, it is obvious. Yake Yoisi Es Yoisi Tnan. The Mishnah uses, as its example, a four-letter word, Yosi. Four letters. From the Mishnah alone, I could have derived Rav Acha's teaching. The Gemara answers, no. Mahu Detema. Without Rav Acha, I would have thought Milsa B'Amahu Denokat. The Mishnah is using just a random example. Komash Malon, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is informing us that the example of the Mishnah that has four letters is in fact literally a four-letter issue. Hence, the name, not of course when we say literally, it doesn't mean using the word Yosi, that's just a Lishna Ma'alya that the Gemara, that the Mishnah uses, but we mean literally the four-letter name of God as opposed to something else. Ika d'Amri, another version. Omar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Shma Mino, Shem Ben Arba Oisyos, Nami Shem Hu. We learn from the Mishnah that the four-letter name of Hashem is also considered a holy name and will warrant a death penalty, and one does not have to use, in order to achieve this major offense, the very, very special 42-letter name, known as the Shem Ben Mem Beis Oisyos. So Rav Acha is telling us that the violation of Birkas Hashem is achieved with the four-letter name also. The Gemara asks, well, Pshita, do I really need Rav Acha for that? Yake Yoisi Es Yoisi Tnan. The Mishnah uses as its example a four-letter word serving as an example. The Gemara answers, Mahu Detema, without Rav Acha, I might have thought, Ad Deiko Shem Rabo, that I really do need the Shem, the great name, the 42-letter name, and the fact that the Mishnah said Yake Yoisi is Umilso B'Almahu Denokat, it was just a random example, but not to serve as a literal example. Komash Molon, Rav Acha tells us that the Mishnah's choice of Yosi is to inform us that the four-letter name is sufficient to create the capital offense. Nigmar Hadin V'chulei, the Mishnah went on to say, "V'hadayonim oimdim aragleihim v'kurin v'loy ma'achin." The judges, upon hearing the testimony of the witness at the Gemar Din stage, at the final stage of the judicial procedure, and they hear the witness say the actual name of God as they heard the blasphemer say, the judges stand up and rend their garments and do not sew them back. Before we continue in the Gemara, we'll take advantage of our Nosei Mivneh heading, the topic heading with the structural note combined. We will notice, as you scan down the next few lines of the Gemara, triangles with colored in tips surrounding the word Minolan. From where do we know? The heading, our title, continues, Mekoros Ledine HaMishnah, sources for the different laws taught in the Mishnah, Hadayonim b'shoimam Hashem mehaed b'birkas Hashem, the judges upon hearing the name of God from the witness, oimdim, they stand up, number two, korin, they tear their garments, and number three, velo ma'achin, we will be seeking sources for each one of these points. So the Gemara continues, oimdim, the Mishnah says the judges stand up before hearing the name of God, minolon, from where do we know that upon hearing the name of God, there is a need to be standing? The Gemara answers with a long answer. You'll notice the tuf that's encircled for the word teretz, a dashed vertical line indicating the length of this answer to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, between the Gemara and the Tosfos. Omar of Yitzchok bar Ami, the Omar Kro, the Pasuk says regarding a story in the book of Judges, in Sefer Shoftim, the Ehud Bo Elov. Ehud was one of the Shoftim of Yisroel, of the judges of Israel, who came before the king of Moab, Egloin. It says, V'hu, the king, Egloin, Yoshev Balias HaMekero, he was sitting in his upper chamber, Asher Loi, that was his chamber, Levado, and he was sitting there by himself. Vayomer Ehud, Ehud entered the chamber and said, Devar Elokim li Elecha, I have the word of God. Vayokom me'al hakisei. So as you can see with our markings, we've dashed underlined Elohim and the word vayokom, indicating that upon hearing the name of God, he stood up. V'haloi dvarim kalvachomer. And from this, we can argue a kalvachomer. Uma Egloin melech moyov. Mind you, Eglon, who is a Gentile king, Shehu Nochri, he is a non-Jew, Velo Yoda Elo Bekinoi, and his familiarity is only with the accessory names, secondary names that are assigned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omad, and nevertheless, even though he was hearing a secondary name, he stood up. Yisrael, when you're dealing with the Beis Din, the Jewish court, the Shem HaMeforash, and the special ineffable name, and that is what they are going to be hearing, Alachas Kama Vakama, all the more so, standing is necessary. The next point that was seen in the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Korin, they rend their garments. Minolan, from where do we know that that is what is expected of them? Minolan. Of course, you see the use of the triangle, with the colored in tip. Minolan. Dichtiv, the last pasuk in the Sefer Melachim, Melachim Beis, Perek Yudches, the last pasuk of that perek says, it's pasuk Lamed Zayin, this is featuring a time in history where the king of Ashur was threatening the annihilation of the Jewish community, particularly in Yerushalayim, after he vanquished the rest of the land. And the emissaries of King Chizkio come and report to him words of blasphemy that they heard from Sanherib's emissary or representative. Vayovel Eliyakim ben Chilkio, Veshevno Hasoifer, Vyoyach ben Asaf Hamazkir, El Chizkio, they came to the king Chizkio, krue begodim, with torn clothing, vayagidu loy es divrei Rav Shokei, and they reported to him the blaspheming words of Rav Shokei. So we see that upon hearing the blaspheming of God's name, it is necessary to rend one's garments. Loi ma'achin, we were also taught that tearing is not to be re-sown. That's what the expression of v'lo ma'achin means. Minolon, from where do we know this? Om Rabbi Avo, Asya Kriya Kriya. Through a word comparison, using the word kriya, we will discover that the tear is not to be re-sown. Ksiv hocha, it says here, krue begodim, in the context of blaspheming. We underlined that a couple lines above. Ksiv hosam, and in another location, the story involving the prophet Elisha seeing his mentor Eliyahu HaNovi depart from him in the flaming chariot. The Pasuk says, Velisha Royeh, he sees Eliyahu's departure, Vahu Mitzayik, and Elisha cries out, Ovi, Ovi, Rechev Yisrael Uparashov, Velo Ro'o Od. After crying out, Oh Father, Leader of Israel, and he didn't see him anymore, Vayechazek Bivgodov, Vayikoreim Lishnaim Kroim. He took hold of his clothing and tore them into two tears. There seems to be an extra word in this pasuk. Mimashma Shanema Vayikoreim Lishnaim. From that which it said, he tore them into two. Eini Yodea Shehem Kroim. Do I not understand that they are tears? What is the necessity of adding the last word of the quoted pasuk just above? Melamed, the fact that the word kroim is added after it already said vayikoreim lishnaim, that he tore into two. What is meant by he tore it into two tears? The answer is melamed shehein kroim leolam. It teaches me that the tear must remain permanently, not to be re-sown. So by word comparison, we see kro'im in this context, and we saw kru'e begodim in the context of blaspheming, hence we take it to mean a tear that's not to be re-sown. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and you can see that by virtue of the fact that the next few lines are in a frame, and as you know well in our marking system, framed sections represent Tanaic sources. The source says, Echod HaShemeya, the Echod Shemeya Mipi Shomeya, whether it be one who hears directly the Birkas HaShem, the cursing, whether it be one who hears the cursing from the one who heard it originally, Chayov Likroa. There is an obligation to tear the garments. V'ho'edim, the witnesses, at the point that they are saying over the testimony, namely, these are the people, the witnesses, they heard the blaspheming once. When they are saying over the testimony, in chayovim lokroa, they don't have to tear their garments again. Shekvar karu b'shal sheshamu, they already tore at the time they heard the initial blaspheming. The Gemara asks, "V'chi koru b'shal sheshamu mai have?" So what? They heard it at the point. They tore their garments at the point they heard it initially. Hakoshami hashta. They're hearing it again from themselves. So why is there no obligation to tear again? So once again, the Gemara turns to the psukim that we possibly featured above, involving Rav Shokei and the emissaries of King Chizkiah. The following pasuk, it's the first pasuk in Perek Yutes, the following pasuk there says, he says, lo sakadaituch tichtiv, it says, in other words, lo sakadaituch, don't think that they should tear again, because it says in the following pasuk, vayhi kishmoya hamelech Chizkiyo, when the king Chizkiyo heard their report of the blasphemous remarks that Rav Shokei made, vayikra es begodov. Chizkiyo tore his garments. Hamelech Chizkiyo korah. The Gemara infers that only the king tore. The heim lo koru, but the ones reporting it did not tear again. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us take advantage of our no say heading that appears in the margin. kriya al, the tearing over shmi'as, shmi'a migoy, hearing God's name, hearing a curse uttered by an idol worshiper, and number two, kinui, the cursing that is not the ineffable name, but an auxiliary name. What is the halacha regarding tearing? We will notice in our markings a diamond with a colored end tip. The Mivneh note, the structural note, tells us, Shnei halachos shel Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Two teachings of his, and you can see that those names are enclosed in the diamond. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Hashomea Azkora Mipi Ha'ivei Kechavim Eino Chayav Likroa. One who hears the mentioning of God's name in this negative form, in this negative context, but he hears it from an idol worshipper, he is not obligated to tear. V'im Toima Rav Shake, you might ask as a question, what about the story involving Rav Shake? Rav Shake was an emissary of the Assyrian king Sancheriv. Was he not a Gentile, and was he not an idol worshipper, and hence we would see from there that one is obligated to hear, to tear upon hearing from an Oyved Kechavim? The Gemara answers no. Yisrael Mumar Hoya, he was actually a Jew who went afoul, who went astray, who departed from the practice of Judaism, but essentially he was Jewish, and since the blasphemous remarks were coming from a Jew, that is what obligated the tearing. The Omar of Yehuda Omar Shmuel Ein Kurin Elo Al Shem Hamiyuchad Bilvad. Tearing is done only upon hearing the special name. We saw this featured above in the Gemara, the four-letter name. Lafuke kinui delo, to the exclusion of auxiliary names that do not create the obligation to tear. Upligi de Rebbe Chiyo b'Travayu. The two points that we saw in the name of Rebbe Yehuda Mar Shmuel are at odds with Rebbe Chiyo's approach. The Omar of Chiyo, Hashomea azkoro bizman hazeh enoi chayov likroya. One who hears blasphemous remarks nowadays, there is no obligation to tear. We will later make the inference in the Gemara that this teaching is true nowadays, but in old times long ago, there would have been an obligation to tear. So let us continue with his teaching. He says that if one hears the Azkor, the mentioning of God's name nowadays, there is no obligation to tear. Eino chayav likra, she'im I ata omer kein. If you say otherwise, nismale kol habegid kra'im, one's garments will be full of tears. Miman, from whom is one hearing that Reb Chiya is teaching his law? From whom is one hearing the blasphemous remarks? Ilemo mi Israel, if you are to suggest that he's hearing it from a Jew, could that be? Mi pakiri kule hai, are they so foul and unbridled as to make so many blasphemous remarks? Rather, it's obvious that Rav Chiya was describing a situation of hearing blasphemous remarks coming from the mouth of an idol worshipper. So that's point number one, and we've written in one. This creates a point of opposition to Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, who said that hearing from an Oved Kochavim is not grounds for tearing. You see from Rav Chiya that it is. The E Shem Hamiyuchad, and if you were to think that the Oved Kochavim is blaspheming with the ineffable name, Mi Gemiri, do they know it? It is a type of name, and we'll call it the secrets of its pronunciation, were not known to the Ovdei Kochavim. Elolav Bekinui. Rather, what is happening with the Oved Kochavim? He's blaspheming using an auxiliary name. Being of a more popular nature, that is something they would know. Ushma mino, and from this we can infer, Bizman hazeh hu deloi, that only nowadays, when there is no fear of the courts upon the population, do we say that there's no obligation to tear. Ha meikara. However, when before the Golus, before the exile set in, and the courts were still in session and had the ability to carry out capital punishment, chayov, there would have been an obligation to tear over a kinui from an oved kechavim, hearing an auxiliary name uttered by the heathen. Shma mina. So this is the conclusion for Rabbi Chiya, and we also have demonstrated that this is at odds with Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel's approach. He said that hearing from an oved kechavim or hearing a kinui is not grounds for tearing. Hasheni Omer Afani Komohu, the second witness who is serving to testify against the defendant who is held guilty of blasphemy. The second witness says, after hearing the first witness say the name in a literal fashion, the second witness says, I heard similarly. He doesn't say the actual curse. Only the first witness said it. The second witness said, well, I heard the same thing. Omar Reish Lakish, Mamina, we conclude from our Mishnah that the expression that a witness says, Af ani komo, I heard like him, thusly, I heard similarly, that type of testimony is kosher, bedine momenos u bedine nefoshos. It is fully acceptable in monetary matters and in capital cases as well. And it is simply a case of an extra step, if you will, or a restrictive approach that we take, a machmir approach that we take in general, where we require each witness to say explicitly exactly what he heard. That the Gemara refers to as a ma'ale, an extra requirement. However, v'hocha, in our case, when you're dealing with testimony concerning a blasphemous remark, kevon de lo efsher, since it's not possible to say this horrendous comment a second time, it's bad enough that we had to hear it once. Ukmua rabbonon adoraisa, the rabbonon set up the laws of testimony in this case on the original Torah basis, the Torah level, and which says that we can carry out capital punishment with this kind of testimony as well, namely the af ani kamohu testimony, even though it's not that extra special kind of testimony that we hear in general. The isalkadaitach posol, if you were to think that it's that af ani kamohu is not acceptable on a Torah level, in other words, that midoraisa you require testimony to be spelled out, then hocha, in the case of blasphemy, mishum de lo efsher, only because it's not possible, namely it's uncomfortable to hear the name of God repeated a second time, katlinon legavra, would we kill the defendant? Certainly not. Therefore, it must be that the testimony of Afani Kamo, even without the testimony being said in a specific fashion, is still acceptable on your basic Doraisa level. Vashlishi Omer Afani Kamo. The Mishnah featured a third witness saying, I too heard like him. This Mishnah, by featuring a third witness as participating in the testimony, Stamo, this unnamed Mishnah, Kerebi Akiva, conforms to Rabbi Akiva's teaching, Demakish Shloisha Lishnayim. Rabbi Akiva holds that when you have a group of three witnesses, even though technically speaking two witnesses is sufficient to establish the circumstances, If you have three, we treat the third witness as we treat the basic two. Rashi here explains, Rabbi Akiva, b'maseches Makis, d'makish shloisha lishnayim. Rashi says, quotes the Gemara in Makis, that the Torah compares the three witnesses to two. The imnimsa shlishi karov apostle. If you have a group of three witnesses and you find one of them to be a relative or an unacceptable witness, then edus shokulam betalim. The entire group of witnesses is voided. Hilkoch. And as a result of this, as a result of all additional witnesses forming the core of the testimony, but kinon le bahadaya, we check him out with the rest of them. De'i mitzam oy miskachesh, if we find him to be shown to be a phony through hazoma or through contradiction, mevatlin lesaudusayu, we void the entire testimony. As we turn to Samach Omid Beis, we encounter a new Mishnah at the top. Ho'ived avoidas kechovim. Echod ho'ived the echod hamezabeach, whether it be someone who worships, whether it be someone who offers a sacrifice, the echod hamekater, one who mezabeach usually means slaughters, mekater means offer up in the fire, the echod hamenasech, one who pours wine in honor of the idol, the echod hamishtachave, or be it someone who bows, the echod Hamakabloi olov le'eloika, or Hamakablo olov le'eloha, v'ho'oimer loi eili ato. All of these different offenses are categorized as oived avodes kechovim. As far as the last expression in the Mishnah, the two expressions, it's echod hamakablo olov le'eloha, and v'ho'oimer lo eili ato. Rashi has two explanations. We will look at that inside. Rashi, fourth line from the top. V'amakabloi olov be'eloha, v'afilu amira bi'almo, kegoin ha'oimer loy eili ato. According to this approach in Rashi, the two expressions are really one idea. That one who accepts an idol as a god unto himself, and his acceptance is through mere speech. The iskish lezvicha, the statement, the calling, the proclamation of the idol being his god is parallel to slaughtering. Dichtiv, the pasuk says in the case of the golden calf, "Vayishtachavu loy, vayizbichu loy, vayyomru eile elehecho Yisrael." We've not underlined the words "vayizbichu" and the word "vayyomru." "Vayyomru" has to do with speech. There, through which you see that speech, the acceptance, the verbal acceptance of something as one's god, some idol that is as one's god, is tantamount to zvicha, is tantamount to a physical act of slaughtering to an avodah zarah. Lishna achrina, a second shot that Rashi has, v'hamakabloi le'eloha, that accepting some idol as one's god, sheloi b'fonav, when not in front of the idol, v'ha'oimer lo eili ato, or one who declares, "You are my ale," b'fonav, in front of the idol. V'tana seifa l'gluye reisha. According to this pshat, there are two scenarios featured in the Mishnah. One is hamakablo le'eloha, and that we said is when you're not in front of the idol, and the eili ato is when you are in front. V'tana seifa l'gluye reisha. The fact that these two cases are taught in the Mishnah is in order for the latter example to shed light on the earlier. The Itana Resha, had I just had the first expression, Havi Amino Hani Mili Bafonov, I would have thought that guilt is only if you're in front of the idol, Abba Shalom Bafonov Lo. But if you're not in front of the idol, and you accept it as one's God, then there would be no guilt. Tana Seifa Bafonov. Therefore, the second expression of the Mishnah talks about a case where he's standing in front. Michlal, we would infer that the earlier expression is a different case. Michlal Dereisha Shaloi Bafonov. He is not in front of the idol, the Afilu Hachi Chayav, and even so, he's guilty through accepting it as his God. Continuing in the Mishnah on the fourth line, Avol, we've squiggle underlined the Avol to emphasize that this now is a contrast point. Ha megapef v'ha menashech, one who megapef hugs or kisses. There will be now a series of activities, and Rashi adds these activities, though done to this particular idol, these activities are not its official form of worship. And hence the list continues, v'ha mechabed, one who sweeps. The hamirabeitz, waters down, the hamirachetz, or washes, the hasoch, the hamalbish, one who anoints or smears oil, one who clothes, the hamanio, puts shoes on, to an idol. Oiver beloisase. There's a violation of a negative command, however, it is not punishable by death. And the reason is because these are forms of worship that are not characteristic of that particular idol. This has to be compared to the earlier part of the Mishnah. For example, Mizabeach, Mekater, Menasech, those forms of worship, we will say, even if they are not the official forms of worship of that particular idol, nevertheless, if they are done, those acts, which are acts that one finds in the Beis HaMikdash, if one does those Beis HaMikdash type acts to the idol, even if it's not usual for this particular idol to be served with those acts, nevertheless, there will be guilt on a capital level. Continuing in the Mishnah, Hanoider Bishmoi, V'amekayim Bishmo, Mekayim has to do with a Shavuah, one who swears in the idol's name, oiver beloy saseh. No der is taking a vow, and the other, the mekayim, is swearing. Hapoyer atzmo lebal poor, one who releases his bodily waste in front of the idol known as Baal Peor, zu hi avodasa, that is its form of worship. Hazorek Evan Lamarkalis, one who casts a stone at the Markalis idol, zu hi avodasa, that is its form of worship. So that even though on the face of things they might seem to be disparaging acts, nevertheless, since those are the acts, or those are the ways of serving those particular idols, that incurs culpability. My echad ha'oved, what is meant by the expression that was on the first line of the Mishnah that said, whether it be one who serves, and then the Mishnah went on to say, whether it be one who offers sacrifices, etc. Is it not so that all the examples of the Mishnah were in fact oved, forms of worship? Why is it necessary to add that the first expression of Echad HaOved when the rest of the Mishnah also were examples of Oved, of serving? Omar Rav Yirmiya, Hochi Ka'omar. Thusly, one should understand the Mishnah. In our marking system, we treat restatements of Tanaic sources as if they are a source itself, and hence you see a frame. The Gemara therefore goes on to tell us, thusly we should understand the Mishnah. Echad ha'oved kedarka, whether it be one who serves the idol in its official or formal fashion, the echad ha'mezabeach, the echad ha'mekater, the echad ha'menasech, the echad ha'meshtachaveh, the afilu shelo kedarka. These acts that we've listed off, you've got mezabeach, is one, and Mekater two, and you have three is Menasech, and four Mishtachaveh. These four acts, even if they are not the formal ways of serving a particular avodah zarah, a particular idol, if they are practiced, they incur culpability. The Gemara asks, V'lech shuvnami zorek, if, as we explained earlier, that the special acts that are done to an idol, when we say special acts, we refer to Beis HaMikdash type activities that were practiced in the Holy Temple in the offering of sacrifices to God. If one practices those acts to an Avodah Zarah, even if it's not the way of serving that particular idol, it incurs a capital punishment. Why is
sprinkling of blood not mentioned also? Zorek. Zorek has to do with Zrikas Hadam. Why is that not mentioned in the Mishnah when we know that that was one of the central activities performed in the offering of sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash? Omar Abaye. Abaye answers, he says, Zorek Hainu Menasech. Once the Mishnah used the expression Menasech, that word includes Zorek. Dichtiv, the Pasuk will show how the term Menasech is associated with blood, and hence we take it to mean the sprinkling of blood. The Pasuk says, Dichtiv, Bal Asich Niskeim Midam. We see through our dashed underlinings the emphasis, we see Niskeim and Midam. Dam is something that is generally Nizrak. The Pasuk uses the word Nisuch to convey that idea. Hence, when the Mishnah uses the word Menasech, we are including Zrika as well. Mino Hani Mili. From where do we know that these special forms of worship, or avodos, even if they are done to an idol, which is not usually served with these things, there still is a capital offense? Before we go further in the Gemara, let us glance at our topic heading. The Nosei, Chiyuv Miso al Ha'ovid Avodah Zarah b'chol Avodos Pnim, the capital offense in the worship of idols through the practice of Avodos Pnim, are those Avodos done Pnim inside, means in the Beis HaMikdash, Af im einom darkom shel ois avodah zarah, even if they are not the common way of serving that particular idol. The second point that will be discussed in the upcoming Gemara is shnei dvarim shiyotsu min haklal, two acts that are highlighted, even though they may have been included in the general teaching. The two acts that will be highlighted are zvicha. In other words, there'll be a special pasuk featuring zvicha and a pasuk featuring hishtachavoya, the bowing. And the question is, if these psukim were highlighted, or these acts were highlighted, mahe malamdin, what are they teaching us regarding the entire topic? Continuing in the Gemara, ilu ne'amar, had the pasuk said zoveach yochram, and that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk actually says zoveach deLohim yocharam. But had the pasuk just said zoveach yocharam, hoyisi oimer, I would have thought bezoveach kodshim bachutz akosuv medaber, that the pasuk was addressing the offense of sacrificing sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. However, Talmud Lomar leElohim. The pasuk really says zoveach leElohim yocharam, and from that we understand that it's talking about something totally different, namely bezoveach lavodes kechovim hakosuv medaber. That one is the pasuk is featuring one who sacrifices to an idol. We want to emphasize that the term yocharam in this context is a reference to oinesh misa, a death penalty. Rashi points that out in his commentary. Ein li ela bezoveach. I would think that only through sacrificing one incurs a capital offense. Mekater u'menasech minayin. How do I know that these other acts also result in a capital offense? Talmud lomar bilti lashem levado. In that same pasuk it says that the one who is zoveach to anything other than the Kodesh Baruch Hu is chayav misa. Rikein hu avoidois kulon l'shem hamyuchad. The pasuk restricts all of the temple activities to be done to HaKodesh Baruch Hu alone. L'fi shiyotza zvicha lidoin b'avoidois pnim. From the fact that Zvicha was highlighted as a reference to the inner service methods, inside the Beis HaMikdash methods of service. So at this point, I would think that idol worship is violated by doing services found inside the Beis Hamikdash. But how would I know about the prohibition of bowing to an idol? Minayin l'rabois ishtachavo. From where do I know to include bowing? Talmud Loimar, the Pasuk says, Vayelech vayavoid Elohim achirim, vayishtachu lohem. That's one Pasuk. It says, and they went and bowed to other gods. V'somichle, and next to it, it says, V'hotseiso eso ishahu v'chule. And you shall take such a person out to be executed. Oynesh shamanu. This reveals to us the punishment. Azhora minayin. From where do I know in the Torah that there is an azhora to this? We've mentioned in previous shiurim that in order to carry out a capital punishment, there has to be two psukim. A posuk that states the oynesh, and a posuk that states the azhora. In other words, a command in the negative form, not to do thusly. So where is the azhora posuk concerning hishtachavo, bowing? Talmud lomar ki lois hishtachave li'el acher. You shall not bow to another god. Yochol shanimar behamegape v'hamenash sheik v'hamanil. Could it be that I should include these things as well? In other words, since we saw hishtachavo was highlighted and was yotzei min haklal, maybe I am to include anything that is like hishtachavo. In other words, just like hishtachavo, just like bowing is a sign of honor, even if it's unusual as far as a particular idol is concerned, maybe all of these other activities that have a certain honorable aspect to them, if done to any idol, that would be considered a capital offense. Talmud Lomar, therefore we see the word zoveach. The opening of this brisa featured that expression, and we learn from this, zvicha bichlal hoisa. Zvicha was part of all different forms of service of idols, and we have psukim already that warn against serving other idols using the general expression avoida. Why was zvicha featured specifically? So the brisa tells us that zvicha bichlal hoisa, zvicha was part of the general rule. The lama yotza, why was it specified? Why was it taken out of the rule and specified in a specific fashion? Lahakish eleha, to compare to it. The lomar loch, and to say ma zvicha miuchedes, just like zvicha is special. She avoidas pnim, v'chayoven ole omisa, it is an act done inside the Beis Hamikdash, and it will warrant a capital punishment. Af kol she'avodas pnim v'chayovim oleha misa. So to any other activity that is a Beis Hamikdash activity, pnim, we've mentioned already a few times, refers to inside the Beis Hamikdash. Those activities, if practiced in the context of idol worship, will warrant a capital punishment. Yotzo hishtachavo lidoin ba'atzmo. Hishtachavoya is featured as a separate entity to teach it about itself. And Yotza Zvicha Lidoin al Haklal Kulo. Zvicha, on the other hand, was specified to teach us about the entire rule. Namely, we extend the offense from not only Zvicha, but all other Avodos Panim, all other internal forms of service. So after all said and done, we see from here that the specification of Zvicha was to teach me a rule, and the specification of Hishtachavoya was to teach me about it alone. Omar Mar, a quote from above. Hoyisi Omer Bezoveach Kochim Bachutz Hakosuv Medaber. That had the Pasuk not added the word Elohim in it, I would have thought that the offense that the Torah is referring to is the sacrifices outside the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara asks, would I really have thought that? Zoveach kochim bachutz equals koresu. The penalty for not bringing sacrifices to the Beis Hamikdash is a penalty of koresu, of being cut short. But and when we're dealing with Avodah Zarah,
we know that it has a penalty of stoning. So how would you have thought that this section of the Torah, which teaches an act that results in the penalty of stoning, could have possibly referred to Zvichas Kodshim Bachutz? The Gemara explains, Salka Daito Chamina, without this brisa, I would have thought, in other words, without the Pasuk saying what it says, had the Pasuk said just Zoveach Yocharam, I would have been able to resolve both elements, namely Kores and Skila. How? Salka Daito Chamina, I would have thought, Ki Asrube, if one is warned against Shchitas Chutz, sacrificing outside the Beis HaMikdash, then there is a capital punishment, katla, death. Kilo asrube, if he is not warned, and he simply sacrifices on his own outside the Beis HaMikdash, that would be kores. Komash molon, therefore the brisa comes to tell us that the posuk is not talking about shchitas chutz at all. Omar le rova bar rav chonon le abaye. Rava presents to Abaye an alternative approach to the psukim. We spoke about hishtachavoya as being taken out of the general principle of avodos, all of the avodos that are shayach, that are applicable to avodah zara, and it was highlighted as a separate entity. And the But Ishtachavoy, according to the teaching we had above in the Brisa, was not teaching me a general principle concerning the entire law of idol worship. He suggests quite the opposite. He says, Emo, why not say, Yotzo Ishtachavoy lelamed al haklal kulo? Let us say that Ishtachavoy is the word that teaches us about the entire procedure, and it would tell us as follows, that all acts, not just bowing, but all acts similar to it that are of honorable nature, for example, hugging and kissing the Avodah Zarah, or bathing it and cleansing it, all of those things, as long as it's respectable, even if it's low kedarka, even if it's not its normal way of being worshipped, would result in a capital offense. V'chi tema. And if you'll ask, Zoveach Lomali, so then what will I do with the Zoveach Pasuk? That too was specified. What will be its role? I can answer that. Le Gufei. It's teaching me about Zvicha itself. Namely, De Mechashvin Me Avoida La Voda. This would be a situation where one sacrifices an animal with the intent of sprinkling its blood or any other subsequent avoda for the purpose of the avoda zara, namely, where even though this act of sacrifice itself was not with the intent of serving, he was sacrificing the animal in order to eat its meat, let us say. But while he was sacrificing the animal with the intent to eat its meat, he had in mind that the blood from this I will sprinkle to an idol. And that would therefore make the sacrifice itself a capital offense. And that is what Zoveach could possibly teach me. At this point, we see the use of a double brackets. The purpose of these double brackets, if you look at the angular ones, it starts here and continues till the second line from the top of Samach Aleph Omid Aleph. This tells us, and we can use the asterisk note to help us along, Matras HaSagrayim Elu, these angular brackets, Laharois, to show the Ad Kan Muva Iker Hatsaoso Shorovo Barav Honan, that up till this point was the basic presentation or alternative suggestion of Rava. And that suggestion being Demehishtachava, that from the featuring of bowing, Nechayev Gam Gipul Fenishuk, I will hold guilty other acts similar to Hishtachava, and similar in the sense that they are acts of honor. Vizoveach, and as far as sacrificing, Yilameid,
And it will teach me that there is this possibility of thought during one act concerning the performance of another act in the realm of idol worship. The truth is that this concept of mechashvin me'avoda la'avoda exists in the Beis HaMikdash itself under the topic of pigul. Pigul is a situation where one sacrifices a korban with the intent of doing a subsequent act at the wrong time. In other words, one sacrifices, let us say, an animal at an acceptable time of day, during the daytime, with the intent of sprinkling its blood at night, or the next day, which is wrong. And that, though the actual act being done is done properly, since it is done with a wrong thought, namely the thought to do a subsequent avoda at another time, that renders the korban unacceptable. The sacrifice becomes unacceptable. The issue is, can we apply mechashvin me'avoda la'avoda from the Beis HaMikdash to the realm of idolatry? So the suggestion is that from the word zoveach, we will learn that in fact you can apply that to idolatry. That is Rava's suggestion. As far as the Gemara is concerned on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara will attempt to challenge with a series of questions this particular suggestion. But each one of the challenges that the Gemara will present on Samach Aleph will be rejected. So as far as a general picture is concerned, it seems that his suggestion stands. The issue that is going to be dealt within the brackets, we mentioned the angular brackets, which we just featured, and now let us turn to trying to explain the role of the internal curved brackets. The note that we started reading at the asterisk said that Zoveach Yilamed de Mechashen Me'avoda La'avoda Ba'avoda Zorah. Besoichom, within these brackets, muva shekush yezu, he aliba de Reish Lakish. The point of the Gemara within the angular brackets, the whole angular section, is to point out that this question or this suggestion of Rava will be a legitimate suggestion if you follow Reish Lakish's approach. Aval Rabbi Yochanan nicha. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there won't be any need to make this suggestion for Rava's suggestion to arise. The zoveach melamed she'ein chiyuv elo al avodos pnim. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, we will discover that zoveach's role will be like we said above, that the violation of avodah zorah is only through doing Beis HaMikdash activities, given that it's that for that particular idol, it's not its normal way of service. Achrei hasograyim hapnimim, haGemara mavhira she'ela zu nish'eles rak aliba deReish Lakish. This is what we just mentioned, that after the angular brackets, the Gemara will emphasize that the question that Rava bar Rav Chanan is raising is a question only according to Reish Lakish. As we said, according to Rabbi Yochanan, whom we haven't learned yet, there is really no basis for Rava's suggestion. Besoich sograim hapnimim, within the angular brackets, muva hamachlokes Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish beinyan mechashvin me'avoda la'avoda ba'avoda zara. The section in the the curved brackets, will feature the controversy between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding the issue of ill thoughts during one activity concerning a separate activity with regard to idol worship. With all of that having been said, let us take a look now at the bracketed section. If we skip the curved brackets And we come to a point at the top of Samach Aleph Amud Aleph saying, Ho nicha l'Reb Yochanan. That means that things are good according to Reb Yochanan, that Zoveach will teach me the, serve to teach me the general principle. Because Zoveach is not necessary for teaching me the issue of Mechashvin Me'avoda L'Avoda by Avoda Zora. And why is that? Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, that issue is dealt with elsewhere. Ela l'Reish Lakish ba'ikra. But according to Reish Lakish, that does not learn Mechashvin Me'avoda L'Avoda from the realm of Pigel, whereas Rabbi Yochanan does. He who does not learn from Pigel, it could be that he would require the Pasuk of Zoveach to teach me this point of Mechashvin Me'avoda L'Avoda, and it's not available to teach me, like we saw above, or on the previous Amid, it's not available to teach me about Avodos Pnim done to an Avodah Zorah, even Shelo Kedarka. Now, we go over the Gemara again, reading the Gemara straight. After Rava bar Rav Hanan makes his suggestion that Zoveach, maybe it is needed to teach me the concept of Mechashvin Me'avoda L'Avoda De'itmar. Hashochet Behema, one who slaughters an animal, Lizroik Dama L'Avodas Kochavim, with the intent of sprinkling the blood to an idol, Ulahaktir Chelba L'Avodas Kochavim, or to offer its Chelev to an Avodah Zarah. Once again, he's doing the act of Shechita without any ill thoughts concerning the slaughtering itself, but while doing the Shechita, he's thinking about a subsequent act to be done for an Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Asura, the slaughtering with these kind of intentions renders this animal forbidden. In other words, this animal is considered a takruvas avodah zara. That even though the slaughtering was not done with the avodas, with the idol in mind, nevertheless, since the slaughtering is done with a subsequent act having the idol in mind, that renders it forbidden. For Reish Lakish, Amar Muteres. Reish Lakish says that doing such a thing, if the slaughtering is done with a subsequent act for Avodah Zarah in mind, that does not render the animal forbidden. And the reason for Reish Lakish saying this at this point in the Gemara is because Rabbi Yochanan learns the dinim of Avodah Zarah, the dinim of sacrificing to idols, from the dinim of Pigel. Those are, as we mentioned earlier, sacrifices done with wrongful intentions in the Beis HaMikdash. Reish Lakish does not compare one topic to the other. Therefore, in the realm of Pigel, we say there's a problem of Mechashen Me'avoda L'Avoda, but that doesn't affect Avoda Zora. That having been said, that Reish Lakish will hold, we don't learn from Pigel, maybe the word Zoveach that we featured before comes to take over. In other words, where Pigel wasn't successful in teaching me the concept of Mechashen Me'avoda L'Avoda B'Avoda Zorah, the word Zoveach will teach me that. Therefore, the Gemara goes on, Ha nicha l'Rabbi Yochanan. I can say that things were fine up till Rava bar Rav Hanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Namely, I wouldn't accept Rava bar Rav Hanan's suggestion within Rabbi Yochanan's scheme of things. But Elo l'Reish Lakish boikra. But according to Reish Lakish, maybe I do need the pasuk of Zoveach to teach me this principle of Mechashvin Me'avoda L'Avoda B'Avoda Zara. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.